Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Christian Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. The Chiefs lost 28-21 to the Bills yesterday evening up in Buffalo. Frustrating loss. How you feeling about it, Bink?
It's tough. There's dreams of the division.
It's a little tougher. They're not gone, but it's tougher.
Well, we have two games against the Broncos. I've just been looking from December on, man. You get the Houston at home, the Chargers at home, the Broncos at home. Your two road trips are Tennessee and Vegas. Like, if they could just keep themselves in position, those last six games are really nice. But the good news for the Chiefs is, you know, the Colts are sitting in front of them. Denver, honestly, should have one loss because that whole field goal against the Colts should have counted, but whatever. They lost that game. But regardless, didn't feel good about it. Denver just keeps winning these crazy games. It reminds me a lot of the Chiefs in 24, to be honest with you. Just, if you want to find out about a team, you look and see what they do at the end of games, and so far Denver's been winning those games. So, but you know what, though? You sit there. I know they're at the 8 line now for the playoffs, and Jags sit there at 7th. That was a huge game. The Jacksonville game bothers me more than anybody, to be honest with you. Bothers me more than the Bills game. But you look at competition throughout. Yeah, the Chiefs could pass them back up. Can they be a wild card team? I think they can. And I think, honestly, you still want to win the division at this point, but the wild card better at least get yourself in a wild card position because I totally think they can.
I still think the division's very much in play, but they're not making it easy on themselves.
Well, it is, and here's the key. Joe Alt's gone for the year.
Yep.
So
he just got confirmed, ankle surgery. He's done for the year.
So his same ankle he hurt last time. But when he came back, they looked great against the Vikings because they had him coming back and Pipkins came back, and that offensive line looked completely different, right? Kamani Vaudell had a huge game for the Chargers, and they looked like a different team with him back. That's how much that tackle makes a difference with that team. They are a different team without him, so that's why I would put Denver ahead of them at this point.
Yeah, like I said,
even though they beat Denver.
Yeah, like I said, I think this is I think it's very winnable for the Chiefs, but man, they just and here's the thing. I'm not mad about the loss yesterday. It is what it is. They've lost the Bills now 5 straight years, so
getting used to it.
It is what it is. My thing was how they lost, because it was the worst game plan offensively, defensively, that they could have put together for the game.
You know what's funny is as bad as it looked, because, I mean, that was a bad, bad, bad game all the way around.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bills had a good game.
Yeah.
And they had a chance
to
come
back. Awesome game plan.
And they had a chance to come back and tie them. I mean, that's the weird thing about it.
Like, I know. Like, it was if the Chiefs.
Like, as bad
had,
as the Chiefs were, they still had a chance like they've had all year. You just don't kick their ass.
Right. They had opportunities. Yeah. And that last drive was like, for the Bills, was like the perfect example. You had opportunities to get them off the field, 15 yard pass for a first down when you could have got them off the field on third down. And put yourself in a position to go get a game tying, or maybe even if you want to be bold, game winning drive. But yeah, just frustrating way all around. And you know, we talked last week about like Breshard Smith and the opportunity he had on his plate, because Bill's third worst rushing defense in the NFL.
He's number going two into, actually going into
second
game.
Worst. going into yesterday's game. Awful run defense. And you know, we were thinking, okay, this might be an opportunity for Breshard to go out there, get some looks, get some touches. 3 carries, 7 yards. In the game.
It wasn't you had, many
you had
for
11
him.
Touches from Kareem Hunt. 30-year-old Kareem Hunt had 11 touches. It was just the worst game plan you could have put together.
And then they put Clyde in.
And then you and this is the part we talked about Elijah Mitchell a lot. And it was a weird signing considering Elijah Mitchell's the fact that Elijah Mitchell hasn't played football since 2023. And so like that part was weird, but it's like, okay, you know, bargain bin running back, maybe they'll get something out of him. Certainly, like, I don't think people expected the Chiefs to get the kind of production out of Kareem Hunt that they did last year. So, okay, let's see what happens. Hasn't played at all this year. He's been healthy and active every game this year. And this was the big test going into this game. You knew Pacheco was going to be out because of the MCL sprain. Okay, what are we going to do about the running back position? Well, the obvious answer is not even elevate because he's on the 53. Okay, let's make Elijah active and see what we could do there. No, they decided they were going to call up Clyde from the practice squad.
Because he has career high against the Bills.
He had a career high
5 years ago.
5 years ago.
It was during COVID. That's how long ago it was.
There was nobody there to watch it in the stadium.
Breshard had his third highest snap total of the year.
Yeah.
He just wasn't getting the ball.
Wasn't getting the ball.
The only time he had a higher snap count was the Raiders was his most.
Yeah.
Obviously, that was
because
the garbage time.
Because they put him in there late.
They had no defense either. So I thought maybe this was going to be a game he saw some action. So he had 12 snaps. But he had one pass attempt to him, and he had one target in the pass game and just 3 carries.
Yeah.
And clearly, you'd like to see more. I thought you were going to get a heavy dose of Breshard. Chiefs only had 79 yards rushing.
Against a terrible run defense.
I mean, it was prime for
him. I don't know if you saw the tweet that Mitchell Schwartz put out.
I
Chiefs
saw it.
Former right tackle. Talk about the very first play of the game. They motioned Kelce across left to right. He lined up as a
tight
end.
The outside, man. It was
outside zone run. Outside zone run. Kelce did a great job with the outside leverage,
combo
pushing
block.
The edge rusher inside. Juwan Taylor slips off. He's starting to go to the outside. All Kareem had to do was just take that outside. Take it outside. Big game there. Nope. He cuts back inside. Why? Because he's a 30-year-old running back who is past his prime and is mainly best at short yardage situations, goal line situations.
Which he's very good at.
Which is good. He's awesome. He's super efficient at that. But, like, that's probably a good time to use Breshard Smith, who's in his rookie year and has the speed, to get his 4.3 speed there, to get around the edge there and try to get some yards doing what the play was designed to do. And instead, you decide, well, let's have Kareem Hunt try to run
outside. Well, they could have used
a
running game, let's face it. With Mahomes taking the hits he was doing,
yeah,
the screen game was there. That was an over-aggressive defensive line. The screen game was there for the Chiefs.
There.
The outside zone running game would have been there for the Chiefs. It's disappointing because, again, it was there to alleviate some problems that Mahomes is having.
Yeah. They could have worked in the short game way more effective. And it just felt like they were running the most bare bones. It looked like a preseason offense that the Chiefs were running. It looked like the stuff that they run in game two when they do their like dress rehearsal game. And they're trying not to give up a whole lot. Or they're showing stuff that they're not going to use in the season. That's what it felt like. And it just was like the worst game plan. And, you know, we talked about this a lot. The running back situation. They had to draft it. much higher than they did. We were sitting there day two, you know, okay, maybe it was a guy you like early day three. But like after round four, it was like, when are you going to take a damn running back? And they waited until we finished our draft broadcast. Right after we finished our draft broadcast, early in the seventh round, they traded up with the Patriots, used their 2 7-round picks that they had, to go get a running back who had played 1 year at running back and was a former wide receiver. And that's the guy that was your big running back.
I mean, there was opportunities in the fourth round. That's where they get Royals, Bosa. Again, these guys are going to be good in the future. But a running back would be helpful. And Bosa was taken there in the fifth. So there were opportunities, even Omar Numbern Lott in the second. I mean, there was opportunities for the Jelati.
Third round, you Jelati
hit a half a sack, but again, there were plenty of opportunities to get backs.
Yeah, and you just whiff.
Not saying these guys aren't going to be good.
Yeah,
I think they are, but this team needs a back.
A bad. Like I'll say this. Like I think the only positions we thought they needed more than running back, left tackle if they could get it. If they could get a dynamic receiver early, cool. And so three. And then defensive tackle.
And Noah Williams made sense because they actually got a pretty high snap count.
But that's not one you needed to go high on.
No, you could have got him in the right situation.
Yeah, so they got him in the perfect situation. Like running back was like, from a skill position standpoint, I would argue running back was their biggest need last year. Even above, like, high impact wide receiver, that's great. But running back was a bigger need overall. Well,
defensive line of running back, definitely priorities in this 26 draft.
Yeah.
And there's not a ton of picks to do it. They've won the first, one in the second, one in the third, two in the fourth because of the Tooney trade, and one in the fifth. And they're probably going to have a conditional or a comp pick because of Hopkins. And there's a conditional seventh round they had that may or may not be met. We haven't figured it out yet. I would say it doesn't matter, but it matters with this team because they use those seventh round picks for help.
It matters a lot because the draft is like their best way to get talent because they don't really have a lot of money to go out there and spend on free agency because they already draft really well and they're paying their other guys that they drafted years ago. My thing about this situation, and we've been talking about this for a year now, is like you can't keep trying to get bargain bin running backs and hope that fixes the problem. Because like we talked about this with left tackle for a while. Because they were trying to do that for a while. Like they did make the big trade for Orlando Brown Jr., but after that it was like, oh, let's see what we could do with this Wanya Morris kid, who, you know, he did play more snaps at left tackle in college than he did right tackle, but he was a better right tackle than he was a left tackle. Then Kingsley Suamata'ia, a guy who played way more snaps at right tackle than he did left tackle.
Did play both, but
but he was more right tackle. And on top of that, he wasn't nearly as good at left tackle as he was at right tackle.
Though, like, I honestly think they thought they had their problem solved at left tackle with him.
Yeah, I think they thought they had it solved with Suamata'ia, which is why he started the year as a left tackle. Two games in, it was very obvious he was not good enough to be a left tackle. And at that point, it was just like, it feels like there's a lot of times where they're very overconfident in who they are picking. And it feels like that with Breshard Smith. And look, I get the infatuation with his skill set. My thing, though, is if you don't believe that he's really a running back, if you think he's just a Dexter McCluster gadget player, that's fine. But draft another running back, too.
I mean, I can see him believing in his running skills eventually, but it's clear now, even though he only had the one target, they see him as a receiver.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what he was at Miami before he went to SMU.
Right. Yeah. And that's the frustrating part, is that you didn't seriously address what was probably the biggest skill position need that you had on your team. So, like, that part is just the frustrating aspect of it. And even, oh, yeah, they were missing Pacheco. Pacheco, this has been a problem when Pacheco was healthy. Because they weren't efficient running the football with Pacheco anyways. Like they've had to go under center, which is something they don't want to do in order to get him going because he's better downhill than he is coming out of shotgun there. It just, none of it makes any sense. And it's very frustrating to watch them be so bad at a position that Andy Reid is generally coached very well. Like when he was in Philly, he always had good run. Deuce Staley, it was Deuce Staley.
When you go to the seventh round, though, like they did Pacheco.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah.
Like Pacheco did work early on.
Yeah, it did.
Like sustainability. I mean, there's a reason why teams passed on him for six rounds. Right. I mean, there's a reason for that.
Because he wasn't just a high-volume guy at Rutgers.
Just saving for the Chiefs to get in the seventh round. They don't do that. There's a reason why.
And here was the thing. He fit
field
in 20.
Vision and the stuff.
He fit in 22, though, because they were running a lot more 12, 13 personnel. They were running a lot of bigger sets, and it worked. They don't do that as much as they used to. They're trying to run the same offense they were running in, you know, from 18 to 21. And the problem is Pacheco doesn't fit that offense. He fits the 22 offense. He doesn't fit the 25 offense. And he hasn't really fit what they're trying to do the last 3 years. And that's the frustrating part about this whole deal. So so I want to do, now that we're at the bye week, we're nine games into the season now. Past the halfway mark, yeah. We passed it at halftime, yeah.
That's what everybody said. Oh, there's a lot of time. Well, there is.
You got a really day of good down the stretch there.
There isn't. I mean, it's a limited. I mean, you're halfway through the season.
Yeah, yeah. Time is running out for you to go out there and get in the kind of momentum that you need to get into. They can still do it. I mean, we've seen them do it before. We've seen them be in a similar position like this before.
To be honest with you, they've played more games than they will have. They've played nine. They'll only have eight. After the bye.
Yeah, so you've got, you know, I mean, we saw this in 2019. They were 6-4, went on a 6-game winning streak going into the playoffs. We've seen them go out there and you know, get hot, but.
Well, they could do it because Jacksonville is like trailing them. I can see Jacksonville, it took everything to beat the freaking Raiders.
Yeah.
And Geno Smith was an idiot down the stretch.
Right. They have had every opportunity they have plenty of opportunities to get back in things and really get their momentum going into the playoffs.
That loss. But though, you ask me what loss bothers me most. The
Jacksonville loss was like, that's one you should.
I mean, I'm bothered about the Chargers and stuff like that, but
The Chargers
game,
is what it is.
But you get their shot at them.
The Eagles, the Bills, the Jacksonville loss. That's like, that was one like
right
you
in your
just
hands.
Shot
that
yourself
big lead.
In the foot the whole game. Mm. So yeah, I agree with you on that. So let's go through all the draft picks that the Chiefs had, all seven draft picks the Chiefs had. And let's give them a grade at the midterm of the season here to kind of see their standing. Starting off with round one, pick 32, left tackle Josh Simmons. I'm going to give him an A. And I know, like, oh, he hasn't played in a month. Look, we've seen just how good Josh Simmons is by how good or how meh Jalen Moore has been the last two games now, because the last two games, because early on in that Washington game last Monday, and then pretty much throughout the Bills game, Jalen Moore was giving up a lot of pressure, and I think he gave up like a couple, like at least two sacks.
Well, he might be going the right tackle games here in a minute after the bye with Taylor's injury,
right?
And Taylor's played pretty well, you know.
Yeah, Taylor's actually kind of short things up.
Well, the good news for Josh Simmons, like reported by Nate Taylor, then the Chiefs talked about being in communication with him. He's back. It looks like at the facility now, so that's good. He gets 2 weeks to be acclimated with the bye week. And that was reported that he's going to come back after the bye week, so that was kind of out there.
Yeah,
that's
we knew
what
that.
You're going to get. His play was A-level to that point. It's a bit of an incomplete because you missed four games, but the games he played, it's better than you expected.
Exactly.
So I would have to go with you and give you an A because his play makes you realize they don't need somebody else. And Josh Simmons has come in and displayed that attitude. I love the way that he's playing. I mean, I love the, you know, the pancaking and asserting his dominance, which he's a very strong guy, and he's is asserting himself more after the Chargers game. He had his first game as a pro, but he got better and better. And so when you think of that draft pick and to think that they actually got a top 10 tackle where they did at 32, I think you have to put all that in the equation. So I'm with you on an A.
Yeah, like I said, I think it really solidified for me when I saw Jalen Moore the last couple
it's
weeks.
It's such an important position, man. It's one of the four most important positions in football, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Quarterback, left tackle, edge, and corner. Shutdown corner.
And here's the thing. I think Jalen Moore, even the last couple games, still played pretty good. I would compare him to an Orlando Brown Jr. when he was here the 2 years
ago. He's got some of the best, man.
Yeah. And it's it's passable. You can win with that. But, there's certainly going to be some times where he gives up some stuff.
Well, getting Mahomes hit 14 times is unacceptable.
Yeah. But, you know, with Josh, though, like, Josh, like, he's been very much a breath of fresh air because it just feels like, okay, they don't have to worry at all.
And I know there's talk, like, would they place him in? Here's the thing. If this is a game week, I don't think he put him right in at start.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Due to the fact that he's here and they have a bye coming up, I think the chances of him starting are far greater. I wouldn't be shocked at all if he started in a Denver game. And if Jalen Moore's ankle or Juwan Taylor's ankle will follow up on that, but if that is limiting him, I could see
Jalen swinging over to the right side. Here's the thing:
not Wanye, man.
Yeah,
not Wanye. He got abused.
Even though I think Wanye actually played pretty decent last year when he moved to right tackle for the little time he did,
he got exposed last night.
But yeah, like, I would much rather have Jalen Moore out there than Wanye for sure.
But Wanye, due to the fact there's a bye week, you're with me on that. Like, Simmons coming back, this is a game week.
I agree.
I don't know if he'd be back right away.
I agree.
Maybe the following week.
And here's the thing about it.
Being a bye, I think he comes back.
It wouldn't shock me if that was the plan that he and the Chiefs put together. Like, hey. Come back after the Bills game, and we'll get you acclimated in. You'll get a couple of weeks in a practice, and then you're good. Well, and that he'll probably be working out the entire time that he's
Do the fact that he's here now and not waiting till a week later.
Right, yeah. I imagine he's gonna be working his
ass
off.
They're gonna be putting him at speed. I would guess that he's not coming, on Saturday or Sunday, but he's already here now. I don't know if he's gonna stay here. I don't know. I don't know anything.
If there's any indication based off of how he did his offseason, I would assume he'll be here.
I think Andy works during the bye week. So.
Oh, yeah. No, Andy definitely does. I would imagine that he's probably going to be here working with Andy Heck and trying to
get
back.
He might be the lone guy in that weight room.
Maybe, but hey, I mean, everything we've heard about him, he's very dedicated to his craft, and I definitely think that he's going to be working, doing everything he can to be ready to go.
I mean,
he did show
it being ready for the season, coming out that patellar tendon.
Right.
I mean,
being ready for training camp.
The fact that he didn't miss training camp days and all that, like, they were good signs. I mean, that was good signs for that. So, don't know what happened, but hopefully, personal is what we know, the family and stuff. So, hopefully, he's right. I do believe he goes back in the starting lineup.
Me too.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I think that point, the fact that he came back today, is like, okay, he's trying to get here as quick as he can and get ready to
I think the other thing we have to look at is the fact he was picked 32.
Yeah.
And the fact that Veach got somebody did work out for him for that time. So we'll see what happens. But the fact that he went 32, I think, goes in the equation that they got a left tackle for this football team, a Super Bowl favorite team at that point to be a left tackle. So,
and not only that, but like he's been better than the guys taken ahead of him. I mean, you know, take a prime example. Like they talked about. I remember
left tackle's not an issue until he's,
yeah.
Until
like I remember recently. I was at the Washington game last week. I went back and I watched the broadcast the next day, and they were talking about Josh Connerly, the left tackle out of Oregon who moved to right because they got Laremy Tunsil from the Texans in a trade. And Connerly's had some issues adjusting to playing tackle at the NFL level. So certainly there's you know, there might be a learning curve there for him. So, like, that was a guy that was mocked a lot to the Chiefs at 31, and to see the Chiefs be able to go get a guy who, and Josh Simmons, who they could immediately plug in, and he could be a right a left tackle starting
for
them.
Jacob Martin exposed them. I mean, he's decent player, not a great player.
Yeah.
He's 3.5 sacks this year, but of course he dominated the Chiefs.
Right, yeah. So it's like you gotta think about that as like they were able to go out there and get the kind of guy that they did after these other left tackles.
Put it this way, Jacob Martin had 2 sacks against the Chiefs. He only has a half sack against the Chargers and a half sack against Green Bay, and that's it before that game. But he was dominant in that game.
Yeah, like I said. So, yeah, I agree with you, A, on Josh Simmons. Let's get to pick round 2, pick 63, defensive tackle Omar Norman-Lott. I don't think we can give – I think we had to give him an incomplete on this one.
I think incomplete because of the injury. Now
the injury, and not only that
– he was out of position.
Out of position, playing nose tackle. He should be 3-tag. They made him gain 25 pounds from, you know, more than what his playing weight was when he was in college. And I just, it didn't look like that was natural for his frame. I think naturally he is more of a smaller defensive tackle, a guy who's somewhere in that 290 to maybe 300 range. If they would have had him put on 5 to 10 more pounds and it looked like it was natural, I'd be fine with that. But him putting on 25 more pounds, and he didn't look comfortable out there. He didn't look fast out there. That part to me was just weird.
Well, they could have used him right now.
Yeah.
He would have been getting some big snaps.
Yeah. And I think the plan was he's going to get more snaps as he gets acclimated to the weight. And I think the ankle injury may have been part of that may have been because of all the weight gain he had. And also, you know, I think that It's been probably tough for him getting acclimated to the number of snaps that they're going to want him to play, which is going to happen. But it doesn't help when you are playing 25 pounds heavier than what you were when you were playing last year in college. So incomplete, I really hope. And this is why I said the Chiefs should draft 2 defensive tackles last year. Because last week they went out and got MV Pinnell. They brought him back from the Bengals. And it just didn't make a lot of sense for you to not take 2, so that, because if you get a true nose tackle and you get a pass rushing guy like Norman-Lott, you fill 2 needs there, and you're doing it through the draft. You're doing it with younger guys as opposed to going out and having to then maneuver around to bring in older defensive tackles that, you know, may not quite.
Well, this year it wouldn't be against an edge, 2 defensive linemen or 2 defensive linemen, whatever. I think they need both, to be honest with you. And the other thing, too, is tight end. I mean, Noah Gray, to me, has taken a step back from where it was last year.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how you feel on that.
I agree.
Yeah.
He's not the – and I think part of that is –
he's not a tight end 1.
I agree with that. I 100% agree he's not a tight end. I think part of that is, though, is because the receiving core is better, and so they don't need to throw to
him. I hope so, because I liked his growth and what he was doing. I really like watching Noah Gray play.
Yeah, I think he's taking a step back, but only because – there's better options to throw to now than there was the last 2 years.
He could definitely be with the Chiefs as tight end 2 and everything else. 100%. Oh, yeah.
I got no problem with him being tight end 2. I do agree he's not a tight end 1. And I do think that tight end is a position that if they got to find the right guy. And, you know, to be honest, I might feel very more comfortable with them going out and signing Kyle Pitts and seeing what they could do with him rather than going out and taking one high. just because I feel like you can work around your tight end issue much easier than you can work around like the running back or the defensive tackle issue.
Well, the trade deadline's tomorrow at 3, so we'll see what they do with the defensive
line.
We'll
see what they do. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, ooh, man, they could really use a defensive tackle on this team.
One of the guys
man.
I could see him getting is Clayce Campbell. Only because he's 39, yep. Still productive, 5
he's gonna
sacks.
He's going to be cheap.
Going to be cheap, and they're not going to have like a late-round pick swap
right.
to deal with him.
Yeah,
so.
We talked about this, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think
I'm cool with
Calais
Campbell. I'm cool with Calais Campbell. You can line him up at edge. You can line him up at DT. He's got the size, the power you need.
Things.
Yeah, he can do a lot of things.
And a respected guy that can go in that locker room.
Veteran. Fine. I mean, maybe he could teach some of these guys how to improve their game.
100% he could.
Yeah. Like
he's seen it all.
Yeah. No, I'm all about it. And I just want to see him because he's got that great voice. Like he's got that really deep voice there.
Like Gable.
I'd love to see him in interviews. He'd be really entertaining. Yeah, no, I'm kind of hoping that we get something like that coming across tomorrow. But yeah, no, I incomplete on that. Ashton Gelati at 366. Edge rusher out of Louisville, shorter arms, George Karloftis type.
Had his half sack yesterday.
Had a half sack. Him and Karloftis, they were able to team up for a sack on Josh Allen, and I think it was the second quarter. I got to give him a D. I don't think he's bad, but like I think we do see the physical limitations with him out there because he feels like a much lesser version of Karloftis. Like you watch him pass rush. I mean, he could go out there and physically dominate college tackles. I haven't seen him go out there and dominate NFL tackles the same way he was at Louisville. And I think that when we see the arm length at display, it can be a problem sometimes. I do think he's getting better, but my issue is he just a lesser Karloftis? Is he just a 4-6 sack guy? Is he a Mike Dana type? Because if that's what he is... Like, I do think they should probably absolutely look at getting another edge rusher in the draft next year. If that's what he is a 4-6 Mike Dana type, a younger Mike Dana, then, yeah, they should probably look at getting another, like, a guy who could be, like, a real every-down starter at edge rusher.
Like his motor, though.
Oh, yeah, I love his motor. And I love his motor. I love his story. I love his attitude.
He's been getting around. He was hovering right around 50% snap rate. But that's dropped the last 2 weeks at 39.6, then 34.8. But he has been as high as 46.7.
Yeah,
as far as getting in there. So it's the snap counts he's got has definitely been a lot more limited lately.
Right, and that's the thing that question is like you think as the season goes along, and especially when they have. I mean, the season goes along, you would expect for him to get increased snap counts and more usage because we've seen that with a lot of guys. Like
he's at 39.8% of the defensive snaps, 204 defensive snaps, one half sack. That was last night.
Yeah, it was last night. And it was just like, I think he's not going to be anything more than Mike Dan, at least from what I've seen thus far. And that's kind of what we talked about.
I'll give him a C
draft.
Just because of the motor.
I love the motor. It's just like motor it's not going to make you a lot of money if you don't have the tools or you don't have the skills,
Good if tools. So I would say that with him.
So I almost gave him a C. I almost gave him a C because like I do think he has gotten better. I just don't think he quite has the tools to be what I think the Chiefs were hoping he would be. So maybe he's just a good, decent, rotational guy that moves into three tech on third down. And if that's what he does, that's cool. I'm fine with that. I just don't think that, I think they need another edge rusher. And now that we've talked about it more, edge rusher needs to be up there with defensive tackle and running back.
I mean, at least two, whether you go defensive line and edge, or if you want to spend two on defensive tackle, but at least some edge.
I think a tackle and an edge, and maybe even two tackles and an edge. Like that might be something too. I know you got limited draft picks, but like I think at this point now, defensive tackle, edge, running back,
tight end.
If it's depending on who it is.
But after the first and second, it gets pretty thin.
Right. So there's a lot of options there for some of those positions. Like I think that I think edge rusher is pretty deep this year. I think there's a lot of good options there. Defensive tackles, all right. It's pretty good, but it's not great. tight end, some guys up top, not super deep. Running back, I think, is pretty good throughout, like it usually is. But, yeah, you need more D-line.
But guys could be lingering around there at the end of the first round, definitely in the second. So yeah. If you decided to go that high. But you may want to spend those picks on edge or defensive tackle.
Yeah. Pick 385, cornerback Noel Williams. I'm going to give him an A. I think he's been awesome.
He hit his highest snap count last night.
Yep, he was really good in coverage. I haven't watched the All-22 yet, but everything I've heard about him from the All-22 thus far, yeah. He's been awesome in the Bills game. Every time I get to see Noel Williams, he looks like a perfect fit for the Chiefs.
Yeah, they hit on that one.
Yeah, that was your guy. On day two of the draft, we talked about that a lot. On day three, you were very, very much the biggest fan of him. We got to talk to his coach from Cal. He was awesome, and he definitely, like, if anybody had any reservations about him, he definitely eased that.
And I think he was third on the Chiefs and tackles last night. Yeah, seven. So.
Yeah, like Noel's awesome. I give him A. I think every time he's been on the field, he has been awesome. And when he's not on the field, their defense is worse. Like we saw in the Jags game, without him on the field, they were getting torched.
He was playing when they won. He was not playing when they lost.
Yep.
He did play last night. And they
he
lost,
did play last night, but
it
he was
his
awesome.
Most.
But he was awesome. But he was awesome in that game. So yeah, round four, pick 133. You got wide receiver Jalen Royals.
Incomplete.
I got to give it incomplete
because
he doesn't
yet.
Play. He doesn't play, and maybe the fact that he doesn't play is a sign of where he is right now as far as the offense.
And he was
goes.
Banged up a bit in camp and everything.
Yeah, and he did miss the first game of the season because of a knee issue. So
I think it's incomplete this time. We'll readdress this after the season,
right?
But we don't know yet.
It's just it's hard to know because here's the thing. I think Jalen Royals is a project guy that they're thinking about for next year. I think they're like, we've got guys on our roster that we like. We got veterans. Like, they got Hollywood. They got Juju. And I think maybe next year, maybe Jalen Royals does what Juju was doing this year.
And Tyquan was kind of the unknown, but he certainly passed him.
Yeah, and Tyquan's Tyquan, you know, he's been in the league for what? This is his third or fourth year in the league now, so he's got more experience than someone like that. So, like, they're featuring more veterans this year because they have that veteran presence there. And the receiving corps, I think, has been overall pretty good this year. But, yeah, I mean, when Juju is out here producing the way that he is, it's going to be hard for Jalen Royals to get
But the other thing, too, when Rice was out those six games, you know, I was expecting maybe some Jalen Royals sprinkle. He didn't. So I don't know if that's an indication of incomplete or being banged up or the fact that
– or he's just not as good as people thought he was.
So it's hard to determine.
Yeah, that's the reason why I think incomplete is the right answer for now, because we just don't know. So I'll give him that. Let's go to 5-1-56. That is linebacker Jeffrey Bossa. I give it a C because I think he's been a decent special teams guy.
He's played a lot of special teams.
Yeah, and so like if that's what he is, that's fine. For
I think he'll be sprinkled
pick,
in to play linebacker fine. For him. I love the guy's attitude and I like his aggressiveness.
I think,
would say low B.
I would say the reason why I would say C.
Only because of where he's at, not because of his defensive
play. Yeah. I agree with that. The reason why I go C is just because we don't know what he is as an actual linebacker in the NFL. We know what he is on special teams. We don't know what he is as a linebacker.
Smart guy, man. He wore that dotted.
Oh, yeah. It's different, though, when you get to the NFL. So I'll say this. It'll be really interesting to see what happens next year when Drew Tranquil isn't here. And he's going to be the guy that they call upon to replace Tranquil because he's a former safety. So he's more than likely going to be their pass coverage guy. That's really, I think, when we can judge Jeffrey Bossa in an accurate way. So that's the reason why I kind of feel like C's safe. 7-2-28, running back Breshard Smith. I'm going to give a B.
Yeah, I'd give a B, too, just because we have seen the juice.
When he has the ball in his hands. When he has the ball in his hands, he is electric.
And he breaks tackles.
Yep.
And he's got good hands.
He's very tough. He the like when he catches passes,
yeah.
He runs like a running back. which is, you know, because he's a former receiver, but he's a former receiver, so you think he'd run more finesse.
Wish they would have unleashed him more last night, we were talking about.
Yes, yeah.
That was the time to do it.
That was the perfect game to do it, and you gave him three carries. He had four touches the entire game. That is unacceptable.
Not enough to get rid of them.
No. Not
That's why I don't look at yards per carry, because they haven't been good there. And the Raiders, when he did have a lot of snaps or 14 carries in the game, but you got to give a guy at least 25 to make a full judgment on him.
Yeah, and also, like, if they would have just given him 10 to 15 touches, I think we could be a little bit more accurate as far as, like, figuring out what kind of player he is as a running back. But they didn't, like I said, three carries. Like, you can't really, and not only that, but they weren't even committed to the run game. So, like, that part just was very frustrating, because it felt like they were trying to play, like, their old style, and it wasn't working because they are much better when they're trying to be efficient, play ball control, and you got to use the run game in some capacity if you're going
to
do that.
We certainly need the Reed type of player.
Yeah. So, that's it for our rookie midterms. I was thinking about this for next week, because we got a bye week next week. I think we should probably think about sprinkling in a mock draft.
You know, we could do it. I do believe there's 32 teams to bye next week in college football. 32 of 136.
Yeah, so I think
that's about right. Isn't it about right?
It's 32. Probably, it's a lot of teams with
buys. I told Josh that during the college football segment. I said, hey man, you know what? We've got a lot of buys, so it's kind of good the Chiefs have one.
Yeah, we should probably sprinkle in a quick little mock draft, 7-round mock draft for the Chiefs. Let's do that next week, because it's funny. Like last week, I did a mock draft, and I was like, "Oh my God, I'm getting some really good players here." So I'd be really interested to play around with that and see if there's some guys that we could get that we think could really, really improve this roster. Now,
I've actually seen some really good mock drafts lately. Usually just kind of poo-poo them, but some of them are like, I like it.
This will probably be the best one that we could put together. Yeah. Some of these guys I think are going to rise up when we get to the draft.
We don't know the draft position yet. But
yeah, no. So next week, let's do a quick 7-round mock for the bye week, and let's throw something out there just to give our listeners an idea of where we're thinking for next year. So next week...
And that's all right. We've done this before. We had Xavier Worthy
first mock draft 2 years ago
in September.
First mock draft 2 years ago. We mocked Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs in the first round. So we have precedent, and we've been pretty good at predicting that stuff.
Yeah,
so.
You know, it's just like we had Torrey Horton mocked to the Chiefs get touchdowns.
So let's get to our Week 10 recap this past week. Penn State took on number one Ohio State, 38-14 win for the Buckeyes. Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, for that regard, both had real big games. Tate had 124 receiving yards on 5 catches and a touchdown. Edge rusher Kenyatta Jackson had 2 sacks in this game. Linebacker Arvell Reese, who's really kind of established himself as a pretty good pass rusher there, he had a sack in this game. I think he's got 6 on the year now. And then Caleb Downs, he had a pick, and he also had a tackle for loss in this game. So a lot of the guys that we've been looking at for Ohio State, they're making plays.
And Julian Zane had his best game, even though he's 1 year away.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
That draft is sick in
that,
27.
That 27
man.
Draft is going to be – I've been thinking about it. I was like, man, that 27 draft is going to be so weird.
Because even our freaking Ryan Wingo down in Texas.
Yeah, he looks good. I mean, there's a lot of really good pass catchers and playmakers in general in the 27 draft. Indiana took on Maryland. In Maryland, 55-10 win for the number 2 team in the nation. Fernando Mendoza, 201 passing yards, a touchdown and a pick. Games like these I don't think are very good as far as like evaluating him, because they're just not that competitive. And when you're running away like that, he gets taken out the game pretty early.
Not to mention the amount of rushing yards they had in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was their primary focus, was running. And Surratt gets hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Elijah Surratt, that's one of the guys who definitely marked for this
right.
This year's draft. But Indiana, it was total of I know they ran the hell out. 367 yards rushing. So yeah. Even though you look at it, but they had 367 yards. Dude, they were 201 yards. They had 367 yards rushing as well. Himby's a guy to watch for the draft, too, that running back out of Indiana.
Yeah. So, this game's really hard to evaluate someone like Mendoza because, he made some good throws last week, but, this week it just kind of felt like it was, a routine game for him. So, it's going to be really hard to evaluate him until he goes out and they play an Ohio State. When they do that, that'll be really interesting.
When they get the playoffs, the Big Ten title.
Yeah, what he does in the playoff, that'll be real big. So right now it's just kind of hard to do that. Wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr., he stepped up in the with the Surratt injury. He had seven catches.
It's either Omar Cooper, Surratt, or E.J. Williams, man.
Yeah. So
or Charlie Becker's kind of coming on the scene for him, but yeah.
Georgia took on Florida in the world's largest cocktail party. Georgia won 24-20, and it was a little bit more competitive than I was expecting. Zachariah Branch had 10 catches for 112 yards. He really broke out in this game. And Trey Wilson, the wide receiver we talked about early in the season, but really hadn't produced because Vernell Brown III and then Dallas Wilson kind of popped up. They were more productive. But with those guys out, Trey Wilson, he played really well. 9 catches, 121 yards, and a touchdown. So that's probably a day three guy. Could go undrafted as well, but I definitely like what I saw from him. South Carolina took on Ole Miss, and Ole Miss won 30-14. Lenore Sellers, 180 passing yards with a touchdown and 2 picks. So, again, the roller coaster ride that is Lenore Sellers.
They just got rid of their offensive coordinator, too.
Yeah, they did. They fired Mike Shula earlier today, so Nick Harbor,
not a great game, but better than he's been doing.
It was better, yeah. 69 yards separation and a touchdown on 3 catches. I mean, look, he's going to be a guy that is I won't be surprised if he gets taken day two because and I can see
great
some
red zone target.
I can see somebody taking not even just that, but somebody's looking at him with the deep ball and they're like, we can do something with that. So I wouldn't be shocked if he was a day two guy, but I think on day three he could be a steal. I think he could be a really good steal on day three, but he needs a lot of coaching.
His size and track background, man.
Yeah, he's a great athlete. I'll say this. I think he might be an Andy Reid guy. I think he would be an Andy Reid guy just because of the athleticism. But he's a guy that, he screams camp darling, and then, then we'll see what happens with him when he actually plays in a real game. So very, very interesting player, though. On the Mississippi side, though, Trinidad Chambliss, he had 159 passing yards, 59 rushing yards, 2 total touchdowns, and a pick in that game. So not the most efficient game from him, but they ran the ball really well. Kawan Lacy, who's top 10 right now in rushing yards, 24 carries for 167 yards and a touchdown. I think Kawan Lacy's really starting to work his way up. Work his way up there as far as the production goes. He gets a ton of carries. This is a guy that gets a lot of usage for Ole Miss. He's really interesting to me.
Former Missouri Tiger.
Yep. Very. Like I said, Lacy is super talented. They also have on the defensive side. You have Suntarine Perkins, a linebacker. He's more of a pass rusher type. So we're talking about an Abdul Carter. Michael Parsons type, where he's an off-ball linebacker that rushes the passer. Suntarine Perkins, 1.5 sacks and a pick in this game. So this is a guy that I wouldn't be shocked if he has a really, really strong Senior Bowl and he has a really strong combine if we're talking about him being someone that is kind of a steal where he gets taken maybe day two, but right now probably early day three. And then edge rusher Princewill Umanmielen, the younger brother of Princely Umanmielen, former Florida Gator that transferred to Ole Miss and played there last year. He had a sack in this game as well. He's draft eligible after this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he came back, but if he's got 4.5 sacks, I think, on the year. If he finishes with a pretty good total, if he's 7 sacks, wouldn't be shocked if he gets put up there as a potential day two, early day three guy and he comes out. So Vandy took on Texas, and Texas won in a very close. They were winning the game pretty big, and then Vandy came back and came within 3, but obviously they failed to win. Eli Stowers, the tight end for Vandy, 7 catches, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. Looks like the best tight end in the nation. He was really, really good in this game. And then on the Texas side,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Arch Manning had a really, really strong game, 328 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. Edge rusher Colin Simmons, who was trending on Twitter during this game, he had a sack, he had 1.5 tackles for loss, and he had a fumble recovery in this game. So really good game by him. He's had a pretty good season. That's a guy I could see somewhere in that 2-4 range as well. Miami went down to Dallas, played SMU. They're number 10 in the nation, the Hurricanes are, and they went out there and they lost to the Mustangs 26-20. Carson Beck, not a great game. 274 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. So he's thrown, 6-7 picks in the last 3 games?
Yeah, it's been rough for him. And Reuben Bain.
1.5 tackles for loss, no sacks.
No sacks for Reuben.
Yeah, he's still, look, he's still a talented edge rusher, but he didn't bring it this past game.
Are you warming up, by the way, back to that Texas game? You warming up Manning?
Yeah. You said what?
Warming up on Manning a little bit?
No.
Okay. He's showing progress.
He's showing progress. I'm not warming up on him for 26, though. I still think that he could be the top pick in 27, though.
Sure.
I think he's a talented quarterback. I just think he needs another year.
But Eli Stavers looked good in that game and his best game of the year.
He was so good. He was so good. It would not shock me.
Obvious dude.
It would not shock me if he was late first. If he plays like that again, especially if Vandy somehow makes the playoff and they make a run, or at least not make a run, but like he plays well in the playoff.
Yeah. Well, him and Sadiq, probably the two.
Those are two guys.
Two guys. Are
but I would give it to Stowers right now, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the playoff. But yeah, no, I like what I'm seeing there. You threw ASU and ISU on.
I threw it on here because Sam Leavitt, obviously draft prospect,
he's out
for the year. So Jeff Sims comes in. People in Nebraska might remember Jeff Sims, right? He's 6'4", 220.
Former quarterback for the Huskers before Dylan Raiola came in.
But here's the funny thing about it is. He throws for 177 yards and a touchdown. You're like, okay, big deal.
That's not great passing numbers.
But he had 228 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns, really showing his athleticism for someone that big. That interests me. Yeah, well, yeah. He's a backup quarterback, so I can't see that at the next level. But when you run for 228 yards and two touchdowns, you show your athleticism.
How big is he?
6'4", 220.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
He might be a tight end.
He could be, but what I'm saying is
he might be a tight end.
We've seen that before with quarterbacks at the tight end, especially. Yeah. But when you see these kind of athletic numbers, you're kind of like, all right, I see you, Jeff Sims.
Yeah. No, and Sims was a good run. He was a good runner when he was at Nebraska. He just wasn't a good passer.
220 yards rushing, and then you sprinkle in 177 a touch. That got my attention.
If he can play tight end,
yeah.
I think there's a place for him.
That's the thing. I see those numbers. I'm going, okay.
He's not an NFL quarterback.
No.
But he can play tight end. If he can catch, if he can run routes, I think you're on to something there with Jeff Sims. Because I remember watching, what was it? It was when Colorado played Nebraska 2 years ago. And I remember watching him, and I was like, he's a really good runner, but he's not a passer at all. It's not a guy I want throwing the football, but man, like him with the ball in his hands, he is a very electric.
Do you remember Logan Thomas? He was the all time leading passer at Vatek.
Oh yeah, Virginia. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah, bigger quarterback.
Round.
Yeah,
he's six,
a tight
six,
end, right?
But he's 6'6", but he was a quarterback at college.
Yeah, but he moved
Virginia,
to tight end.
He moved
right?
to tight end. That's what I'm saying.
Because he played with the Jets, right?
6'6", 250. He played with the Cardinals. Oh, he played a lot. Cardinals, Dolphins, Giants, Lions, Bills. In Washington,
okay,
yeah, in the Niners, but
yeah, because I remember he moved to tight end because I also Felipe
but he finished
Frank.
As the school's all time leading passer, so
yeah,
he showed. But again, he wasn't 250 in college. I mean, maybe 240, maybe a little
he
bit
put on
a big
weight
dude.
To get when he got.
But
to the
when I see Eli, I'm like, because I remember back to. We'll see what Sims' numbers are as far as his height and everything. If he's really 6'4", but. Yeah, I was thinking Logan Thomas when I saw Jeff Sims.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, I don't know if you remember Felipe Franks used to play at Florida as their quarterback. He's a tight end for the Falcons. And that was surprising because I didn't even know he'd
move. It's a move you see for a lot of bigger quarterbacks.
Yeah, so it's an option there for him for sure. So let's get to our money makers here. My first money maker is Vandy tight end, Eli Stowers.
It was mine too, I wrote down.
I knew, it's funny. I know you're going to use him. I knew you were going to use him.
But I didn't.
146 yards, two touchdowns versus Texas. He's got 547 yards, four touchdowns this year. We still got another month of the season left. Maybe he makes it to the playoffs and adds on. Look, if he can get hot this month, I mean, you're talking probably late first round for him. He's super talented. Only problem is he doesn't play in a great passing offense, and so there's going to be some limitations. But watching the tape, watching the film, he looks really, really good.
Yeah, he
did.
Who's
your first moneymaker?
I want Danny Scudero. Now, here's the one thing about him: he's San Jose State. Okay, I get it.
Another San Jose State guy because we talked about old boy from I can't remember his name last year who led Nick Nash.
Nick Nash
last year who led the nation in receiving yards.
And they knew with their offense they'll put up number. But here's the deal: he's 5'9". I get that, but he had 7 for 215 and two touchdowns. That's worthy. But he leads the nation in yards.
No shocker, San Jose State.
He's like fourth in nation receptions. He's number two in touchdowns. He's got 10. So, but anyway, we'll see. 5'9". I mean, later rounds.
Does he play in the slot? He sounds like he plays in the slot.
Yes,
Nash played in the slot too.
Speed is. I'm just saying. Scudero stands. I mean, at 7 for 215. I mean,
that's really.
But
productive.
Here's the deal: 6 of his 8 games, he's been over 100 yards. So he's putting together a nice season, but he definitely deserves it. Now he's a redshirt sophomore, transferred from Sac State, but I'm saying Scudero's putting up some numbers.
Sounds like I said, it sounds like Nick Nash, even though Nick Nash was huge. Nick Nash was like 6'3", and was playing in the slot at San Jose State last year and was really productive. So yeah, I mean, even though he's 5'9".
Sometimes guys are product of the and he's not on any receiver list.
No,
like Scudero's right down. I mean, he's probably gonna come back. To be honest with you.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. And Nash was a guy that he was a low draft pick. I think
he's on the practice. He was undrafted.
Nash he's undrafted. Yeah, as I'm saying, he didn't.
He's with the Falcons though. He's on the practice squad.
Right. So like Nash didn't get a lot of run, even though he was really productive. So we'll see. But yeah, no, Scudero, that's a guy to watch out for. For sure. That's a guy to watch out for. Sure. San Jose State, they know how to use their receivers.
They're fun to watch.
Second guy on my moneymakers list is Nebraska running back Emmitt Johnson. This guy is number two in the nation, right? Number two in FBS in rushing. He's got 10 rushing touchdowns. 165 yards and a touchdown against USC. And he's at 1,000 yards on the season.
And with Dylan Raiola gone for the year, you can even rely on him more heavy.
The only running back in the nation that has more rushing yards than him is Cam Cook out of Jacksonville State. So he is very productive. He's getting a lot of usage. Dylan Raiola has not played well this year, so he's kind of been their workhorse back.
And he's gone for the year now. So
yeah, he's done for the year now. But like he wasn't very good this year, so you've had to rely heavily on Emmett Johnson, and he's definitely been up to the task. This is a guy who could be at 1,500 yards by the end of the year.
Agree.
He is having a hell of a year, and he's really fun to watch. So this is a guy I think of. When I think of running back problem for the Chiefs, this is a guy I think of as like workhorse guy, three down guy. Let's get some, see if we can get some guys like
the
that
Chiefs
get some usage.
A lot of running
there.
Back over 100 yards first time in 27 games.
I know, right? You could probably use a guy like that. So who's your second money maker?
My second money maker is Jeremiah Love. I think he's the best running back coming out of the draft. But he was 17 for 136, extremely productive running, but he adds four catches for 30 yards. So it's 166 total yards. But and I get it. Notre Dame wasn't a contested game really that much. They're better than team. But
yeah,
Jeremiah Love is showing the things that you want to see from a guy that could be, you know, one of the top running backs. So that was a pretty productive game for him.
He's been very productive this year for Notre Dame. And, you know, I liked what I've seen from him. Like I said, I liked his running back class. I'm not in love with it the way I was last year's class. But I like the class, and I think that there's plenty of good options for the Chiefs to upgrade the running back position with. Jeremiah Love is a guy I'd like for them to get. Emmett Johnson,
Justice Haynes. Singleton Allen are going to be drafted from Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like Catron Allen a little more than Singleton right now. I'm pretty sure Catron Allen leads them in rushing this year. So yeah, there's options at running back this year.
Justice Haynes didn't play with Michigan this weekend.
Yeah. But Justice Haynes, he's my favorite running back from this class.
Well, Love came in as my first, but I kind of backed off.
I think before the season we both agreed he was the best running back in the nation. And then Justice Haynes came in and was on fire.
He has foot surgery coming up or something like that, or you're slated for it. So we might be.
Yeah, he might hurt it, which actually might work out in the Chiefs' favor because maybe he ends up falling a little bit, and maybe late round two you can go grab Justice Haynes and not have to move up or anything.
That'd the recovery awesome. Timetable says for Michigan to be determined, but the current hope is to get him back at some point this season.
Yeah,
he averages 120 yards a game.
Haynes is so good. He's so good. So he can run, he can catch. Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of him. So let's get to our Week 11 watch list, starting with a Friday primetime game. Very rare for us to have one of those on the watch list. But USC is going to be taking on Northwestern down in SoCal. And quarterback Jordan Maiava, who I've seen be – some people project him as a day two quarterback.
You can see him play Nebraska last week.
Yeah. He's definitely an interesting – I think he's got great arm talent. I want to see better, more processing speed and a better understanding of what he's seeing from the defense, but he's got talent. And then Mekhi Lemon, the wide receiver there, first round wide receiver for sure. He's one of the best in the nation. My favorite receiver from this draft class. He's incredible. So Saturday morning, you got Penn State hosting Indiana. This would have been a huge game if this were 2 months ago, but not anymore. Penn State, even though
Pro Scouts will be lingering.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of guys to watch out for in this game. For Indiana, I mean, right now, if Surratt plays, is it a more serious injury? Or
no,
Surratt? I haven't seen
it. It's a hamstring deal with him. But Omar Cooper's worth watching, and E.J. Williams, the wide receivers. They have three wide receivers, and Hemby, the running back.
Yeah.
We'll be looking at that, but that's kind of for Indiana.
And in Mendoza.
Again, I think
as
Indiana
well.
Has three draftable receivers.
Yeah. Mendoza
first rounders,
well,
no, but draftable, yes.
Yeah. I think Surratt could be maybe first round for Surratt. We'll see, but probably second round.
He's climbing into seven or eight top receivers.
We'll probably second round right now. For Penn State, though, Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, both guys you want to watch out for. Deny Dennis Sutton will be interesting. Probably a day two guy right now. Zane Durant, defensive tackle. Zaki Wheatley, safety. Cornerback A.J. Harris. Georgia takes on Mississippi State. Zachariah Branch for Georgia, really big game this past week. Christian Miller, defensive tackle.
Not to Oscar Delp in there. Just
he's talented. He's not productive.
He'll be drafted as a tight end.
He will be drafted, but
probably
he's mid-rounds. Just not very productive. And then Mississippi State, that Brennan Thompson kid I was telling y'all about, he's maybe the fastest receiver in the country. This is a kid to look out for sure. I think he has a chance to be really electric at the NFL level. So make sure to look out for him. And then the final one in the morning time slot is a top 10 matchup between BYU and Texas Tech. Baron Morton, quarterback for Texas Tech, and then David Bailey, the edge rusher for the Red Raiders. Guys you want to look out for. Saturday afternoon, you've got a top 20 matchup. Number 3, Texas A&M goes to Columbia, and they take on Mizzou. For A&M, Casey Concepcion is someone you're going to look out for.
Only one of
love this guy.
Two games both teams ranked.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Concepcion. He's a super talented receiver. I think he'd be a great fit for the Chiefs.
I think Marcel Reed, too.
Reed, will see. I mean, I love his running. I want to see more from his passing. But I think he's a good talent. And I definitely think he's a guy to watch out for sure. Especially because, see, quarterback class isn't great. Cassius Howell, edge rusher. Not a fit for the Chiefs because he's more of a speed guy, but he's going to be someone to look out for.
He believes A&M, I think, leads the nation in sacks. A&M.
I mean, they always have good defensive line talent. They just don't use them that well. Howell, though, is great, though.
He is, but it's crazy to think A&M lead the nation in sacks.
Yeah. I mean, they're finally tapping into their D-line strengths. Cassius Howell is great. And Will Lee III, their corner, he's awesome. Then for Mizzou, you got Zion Young, the edge rusher, and then you also have Damon Wilson, the other edge rusher they got.
Came over from Georgia, very productive player even at Georgia.
Yeah. So they've got a really good tandem of edge rushers there for Mizzou. Guys to look out for sure. Oregon takes on Iowa. They go over to Iowa to play them. You've got Dante Moore, the quarterback, whose draft stock I think is falling. You got Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end there, who you think is, you know, one of the two best in the country. Isaiah World, right tackle. He might be a first round right tackle. Bryce Botcher, the linebacker, and Dylan Thieneman, the safety. Syracuse takes on now number 18 Miami, who has just completely choked their season away. Carson Beck, who cannot stop turning the football over. But right now, I wouldn't be shocked. Second round, somebody falls, you know, somebody who's in love with him goes up and takes him. Francis Maui-Goa, another right tackle, could be the top right tackle taken in this class, either him or World. They're both really good. And then edge rusher Reuben Bain Jr., who has definitely improved his draft stock big this year from last year when, you know, he was probably going to be mid to late round edge rusher. Now he's probably first couple days. But, you know, certainly slowing down a little bit in his production.
Yeah, Reuben Bain, someone to watch for sure.
Yeah. Prime time. You got Cal taking on Louisville. Chris Bell, wide receiver. Big physical receiver. A lot of people love the athleticism that he brings to the table.
A wide receiver number 4 or 5 at this point.
Yeah, yeah. He's. I think right now, some people have him as wide receiver number 2, even above Mekhi Lemon. So
really?
Yeah, I've seen some mocks where he was going at number 2 in the draft. So right behind Jordan Tyson. So that'll be really interesting to see. I like Chris Bell. I like the physical aspect there. He kind of reminds me of DK Metcalf. I want to see the
46
speed.
46 yards receiving, something like that last weekend.
Yeah, yeah. He's been decently productive most weeks, but then he's had some big games sprinkled in there that have really like built his draft stock up. So then you got LSU taking on Bama. Big rivalry matchup here. For LSU, I forgot to put the Alabamas on here. But for LSU, you got Garrett Nussmeier. We'll see what happens with him. Aaron Anderson there. You've got Barry and Brown as well, Whit Weeks, Harold Perkins, good linebacker tandem with those two, and Mansoor Delane, one of my favorite man cover corners in this draft class. For Bama, you got guys like Ty Simpson, who I've seen some talk about Ty Simpson being number one overall this year the last couple weeks. Not sure I'm buying that, but his draft stock is definitely flying up, and he definitely could be a first-round quarterback right now. I like Jam Miller, the running back that they have there. Jeremy Bernard's stock is flying
and
up too.
Caden Proctor, receiver. The tackle.
Caden Proctor. I mean, Caden Proctor.
Best tackle in the draft.
He might be the most athletic player in this class. Like, just from a pure athlete standpoint, I'm not sure anybody's more athletic in this class than Caden Proctor is. They also have LT Overton, whose stock I think is going up as well at edge rusher. And then you got some, you know, safety Keon Sabb as well. Then you've got Navy taking on number 10 Notre Dame. Jeremiah Love, you know, who you think is the best running back in this class. I definitely think he's number 2 or 3.
One being, yeah, I like Justice Haynes a lot.
You like
too,
who was your number one?
It'd be Justice Haynes, but he's injured.
Okay. But I'm just talking about like period. Like who do you Haynes. Think is the best one? Haynes, okay. Okay. I agree with that. He's my favorite, but I think Jeremiah Love is right behind him. And I don't think there's going to be much of a difference.
He's a big reason why Notre Dame's rolling right now.
Oh, he's awesome. I think he's the reason why, because he's really good. And he's always someone you could count, go over 100, probably get you a touchdown or two, you know, catch some passes. I like Jeremiah Love a lot. They also have an edge rusher in Bobakar Traore who's very, very talented as well. Could be a good mid-round guy. And then I've been wanting to put this guy on the watch list for a while, but because I really like him. I really like the tape he's put out. And he's a guy I've been thinking about, like, real. But I've seen his draft stock start to rise up here, and I've seen him as a potential day two guy. San Diego State, Hawaii, over in Hawaii, cornerback Chris Johnson. I talked about Savon Revel Jr. last year a lot at was it ECU or whatever?
Yeah.
I talked about him a lot. And because incredible talent, you know, big body, corner, very physical. Chris Johnson to me is this year's Savon Revel Jr. Doesn't have, you know, hopefully he doesn't have the knee injury like Revel did, but man, Chris Johnson is a super talented, physical corner. Got the size that the Chiefs like. I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you have time late on, this game starts at 9 o'clock Central Time. If you have time to watch this game, watch it for Chris Johnson. Because he's a very, very talented corner, very physical, and he's going to get after it for the Aztecs.
That's who Scudero played last week.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, I really like this kid. The tape I've seen, I really liked from him, and he was someone that was on my own personal watch list, and the tape is backing up the hype. So because he plays for San Diego State, he's not going to get the hype that a lot of these other guys do. And even, you know, when he gets to the league, it might be an adjustment because of just talent, because he plays group of five. He doesn't play against power four that much. So there's going to be an adjustment. But, man, once he gets into the league and he gets some time out there, I think this guy we'll be talking about is one of the better corners in the league. So that's it for this week's edition of the Character Concerns podcast. Make sure you download, like, subscribe, tell your friends about it. We appreciate the support. Next week, as we agreed to earlier in the show, we're going to do a 7-round mock for the Chiefs. Because it's the bye week, and we won't have a Chiefs game to react to, and I'm itching to do some mock drafts.
32 game teams on byes. So
yeah, so the matchups aren't going to be quite as explosive here. Really, at this point, a lot of it starts to slow down in November as teams get ready to go into conference championship weekend. So a lot of those big rivalry matchups have already happened. There's some like the week before conference championship week. But, yeah, so very excited about being able to do a mock draft. And then, obviously, any news that comes out with the Chiefs will react to that. And any big news pertaining to the draft that comes out in college football, we will hit on. So, for Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.